Hi, this is Pastor Bob Yandy, and today we're getting into the Word of God out of the book of James. We're going to talk about bitterness. Bitterness is a tool that Satan uses to get into your life. It robs you of joy, but we're going to talk about getting rid of bitterness so that you can walk in freedom toward others. Bitterness is a choice, but walking free from it is a choice too. Let's go to the Word of God together.
For more than 40 years, Bob Yandy has been an expositor of the Bible, making seemingly complicated doctrine easy to understand. Grab your Bible and something to take notes with and study the Word of God with Pastor Bob Yandian.
Hello and welcome again to Student of the Word with Pastor Bob Yandian. So glad to have you here today. God called me in the ministry many, many years ago, and the word He spoke to me, I was at Oklahoma State University. I was a junior, miserable, didn't want to complete college, you know, could care less about my classes. I was just making enough to make probably a C average while I was there. But that's when the Lord spoke to me that year and told me I would be a teacher in the body of Christ. Specifically, that's exactly what He said. I ended up pastoring, but I found out later on the Word of God that a pastor was a teacher. And so I began teaching, and before that had classes in my church and would study all day long. My wife could verify it. I would study and study and had no place to preach them. Stacks of stuff. You ask me, I could come for months and teach a class. But anyway, that's what I had. And I just kept studying those things. And I found out I was a teacher in the body of Christ. And I love it. I'm still a teacher. The pastoring part has come and gone, but I'm still a teacher. And God has gifted me in that direction. So that's why I write books. That's why, if nobody read them, I'd read them. And I'd give them away. But again, God's called me to this. And so I just love writing books. I love teaching classes. And I love seeing new things that I haven't seen before. But I want to say something of the fact that when I say something new, it doesn't mean it's never existed before. Someone else has seen it. There's no such thing as finding something that no one else has found in the body of Christ. And that's arrogance when somebody says, I found something that the Holy Spirit told me I'm the only one that's ever learned this thing. That's just not true. And it may be hundreds of years ago, you pick up a book one day and read a book from the 1800s, 1900s, and read exactly what the Lord told you they revealed to somebody else. So there's nothing new when it comes to the Word of God, but there's just different revelations on different things. The Bible is like I've said, a diamond that you get caught in the light and then you turn it, and different colors appear in it, and different light structures appear in it, because that's exactly what a diamond does, and so does the Word of God. No verse has just one application, all right? It has one interpretation, but many applications to life, and you see those applications in it, and that's why I've written books. And you say, well, you know, today I'm going to be teaching out of the book of James, but you might say, well, I've got a book on James. Well, you've got a book on James, but different authors come from different viewpoints, and again, they see different angles. They see different viewpoints. They see different applications of a scripture, and that's why it's so important. That's why I offer books, and so I've got books on New Testament, some on the Old Testament, but mainly teaching the New Testament of what God has given us today within the church, so different and unique from the Old Testament, and even entitled it The Mystery, calling the church age The Mystery. So these things are important that we understand it. So that's why I offer books. That's why I offer those to you. And I think a library is so important for anyone that calls themselves a teacher. Say, yeah, but you know what? I'm older. And what am I going to do with those books? Give them away. Man, the whole thing is, you know, you collect them and you might even have markings in them and things like that, but give them to your kids. Find another teacher in the body of Christ that you can give those to and pass them down. And I have books in my library that I bought at used bookstores that have markings in them, but I really don't care. I might even read in the margin what somebody wrote and think, that's really a good insight into that verse of scripture. Never thought of it in that way. So that's why I admonish you here. And so I'm going to be teaching today from the book of James, applying a scripture to your life. And so again, if you don't have my book on the book of James, please get it. And I admonish you to say, well, I just don't know if I want to spend the money on it. Money spent on the Word of God. I'll tell you this, if you spent $50 for a book you thought was worth $10, the moment you get a revelation out of that book that you've never had before, $50 was cheap. I mean, it changed your life. It changed your attitude. And there's no amount of money that can do that. That's why I recommend you have a great great library and that you study it. And even when you've studied it and a year or two later, you're going to study a verse again out of that book of James or Romans or Hebrews or whatever it is, read the book again because you'll always get something new. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so again, I recommend that. And today we're going to be offering the book of James, which ties in with what I'm going to be teaching today. And today I simply want to take up the subject of bitterness. And so we're going to take it, we're going to make the verses simple where you can understand them because that's my gift. In fact, I want to read to you a few comments sent to us. This is from Rochelle. And she says, thank you, Bob. I understand when you preach. Thank you. That helps me because, again, others can preach. You may not understand it. But, again, there's lots of them that do. I just like being one of those that do help you to understand a verse of Scripture. I'm simple-minded, so my application is simple. And I think that's what really causes a lot of people to receive it. This is from Christy. And she says, really love hearing the Word of God taught from you. Heather says, this has been the most logically clear explanation I have heard of that passage of Scripture. Well, thank you again, all three of you. And for those of you that want to write in comments and tell us what you think about the teaching, how it reveals something to you, maybe you saw something you've never seen before, that's what I want to hear from you. So again, you can contact Bob Yandian Ministries. You'll find there a place where you can order this book. They'll tell you at halftime of this broadcast how you can have a copy of it yourself. And then there's other books that ties in with James. James is such a wonderful, down-to-earth book written from a pastor to his congregation about applying the Word of God to their daily life. So I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Look at James chapter 3, if you would, with me today. We're taking up a study on the subject of bitterness. We're going to talk about bitterness because there's so many people I know that are bitter. There was a young man that I knew that went off to battle, went off to war, came back, and they won the war. And so they were commenting on it. He was even commenting on his father, who had been through World War II. And what he told me was his father came back after World War II with bitterness, and he swore when he went to war, he was not going to come back bitter. And I asked him, what's the bitterness over? Because he said when he came back, it's like the world had changed after World War II when all the treaties were signed and after, you know, bombing Nagasaki and Hiroshima and, you know, the things, how we defeated Germany and freed all those that were in the concentration camps, all those things, that there was such an attitude of freedom felt around the world and cooperation among nations. And there was just such a unity that came in my, and he said, my dad was so happy with that. But then a few years later, things started disintegrating. He got bitter over it. He felt like he'd fought for nothing, or the results of the war didn't last very long. And so that's all I can say is welcome to life. We're still in the devil's world. And he said his dad remained in bitterness all of his life, died early, and it was because of that bitterness. And he said you couldn't talk to him without him bringing up the war, bringing up fighting for the nation, and then coming back and seeing all that things disintegrate. And so again, we can see things happen around us, but none of our results really seem to last a long time, except for spiritual things. When you sow spiritual things into people, you witness to them, get them born again, great things begin to happen in their life, and so they can begin to change in their life. And so we're going to take a look at bitterness today, because bitterness can be a destroyer of your life. And it says in James chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, do not glory or boast, and do not lie against the truth. This wisdom, you're calling it wisdom. Here's the point. It simply saying here that when you have bitterness, you might call it, oh, God gave me this. God showed me this. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. This is James chapter 3. Verses 14 through 16, James tells us in this passage of Scripture that bitterness in our hearts comes from a root of arrogance. We actually think above other people. We found something they haven't found. We can see things they have not seen. And when they don't get it, we become bitter in our hearts against it, or they speak against us. Pride blinds us to the truth, causes us to lie to ourselves and then to the truth of God's Word. We lie about that. We end up bragging, then attributing our anger to God. We justify our bitterness. This type of thinking and reasoning comes from the world's way of thinking, our own flesh, and ultimately it is demonic. Although this type of bitterness is in the soul, the analogy is taken from nature. The Bible teaches about it. In fact, the way it's used is the way it's used in nature. The Greek word for bitterness, pikria, means bitter in taste to the mouth. It is used of bitter herbs. It's used of gall. Peter used this analogy with Simon the sorcerer when he said, I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness. Here it is again, pikria. And he says, and in the bond of iniquity. Paul takes a natural thing of life, such as something bitter in our mouth, and applies it to the spiritual life. This is done many times in Jesus' ministry, where he applied what he taught to women about putting baking and putting leaven or yeast into the dough, and so making bread. He talks about it when planting in the ground, with seed in the ground. He just brought it down to natural things people can see and understand. And so Peter used this analogy again with Simon the sorcerer and said, I perceive you are in the gall of bitterness. The natural reaction of the body is to spit out what is bitter. The only time a person will keep something bitter in their mouth is when challenged and in competition with others. Welcome to spiritual bitterness. This is because your pride is involved. The same is true with bitterness in the soul. Only a prideful person in competition with someone else will keep bitterness in their heart. They feel justified in it. It's a form of condescension toward others because you feel for the moment you're superior to other people. I'm a friend of a young man who went to college. In fact, he went to ORU. And he lived in a dorm for the first time. He never lived in a dorm. He'd always lived at home when he went to school. And now he was going to college. He lived in a dorm. And so his floor had a hot pepper eating contest. He decided he was going to make friends because he hadn't made too many friends, but he was going to make friends. He would win that contest, although he'd never eaten a hot pepper in his life. He ignored the pain and kept on eating hot peppers until he became numbed. He said, from my mouth down to my rear end, he said, I was numb. Although he won the contest, he paid the price for many, many days. He told me he burned from his mouth down to his rear end. It brought pain to swallow, to walk, to laugh, and especially to go to the bathroom. He felt as if someone was holding a blowtorch under his back end when he sat on a toilet. Under normal conditions, no one would do that to their body, but when challenged, people will do harmful things to themselves to prove it to someone else. So it is with bitterness. People and circumstances of life often challenge us to accept bitterness. Under normal circumstances, we would never accept bitterness, but the challenge attacks our pride. Remember, bitterness comes from a root of arrogance and a spirit of competition. This is what God is telling us here. What God is wanting us to do is to recognize bitterness, isolate it, and then ask Him to forgive us and get over it. Listen, bitterness is something you need to get rid of, and carrying it around doesn't make you any better. It makes you condescend toward other people and gives you a superiority complex over others, and God does not want us to act or think we are superior to anybody. The only thing that is superior to us is God the Father, especially the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back from the break. You can find out how you can get a copy of this book on the book of James. I know it's going to be a blessing to you, and we will see you when we come back.
It did not take long for the dark clouds of legalism to form over the church at Jerusalem. It would eventually end the church there in 70 AD, but by 50 AD had already hindered the ministries of Peter and Paul, who eventually left the Jerusalem church for James to oversee. As pastor of this troubled church, James recognized the argument of faith versus works as a major issue, along with the pride and evil speaking which were infiltrating and dividing his congregation. James was compelled to address these issues both with his congregation and the Jews who were scattered abroad. In a New Testament commentary on James, Bob Yandian uses his personal notes in a verse-by-verse study of the best pastoral epistle ever written, showing the heart of a true pastor and how devastating legalism can be to the church. To order, visit our website at bobyandian.com.
Do you ever feel like understanding the Bible is complicated? Like deep theological truths are out of reach? Renowned teacher Bob Yandian makes learning easy with Theology Simplified. Let this two-volume bundle be your guide to understanding foundational biblical truths in simple, practical language. Volume 1 breaks down 8 essential doctrines of the Christian faith, bringing clarity and confidence to your walk with God. In Volume 2, discover the depths of God's redemptive plan. the church's true purpose, and how you fit into his victorious story. Now, for a limited time, bundle and save. Get Theology Simplified Volumes 1 and 2 together and unlock a deeper understanding of God's Word. Don't wait. Start your journey to greater biblical understanding today. Order now at bobbyandian.com. Theology doesn't have to be complicated. Let's simplify it together.
Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. Because of your generosity and faithfulness, this teaching ministry is able to change countless lives. You will never know until you get to heaven how many people received Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, or found God's will for their life through your support and prayers. If you would like to become a partner with Bob Yandian, visit our website at bobyandian.com and click on Partnership.
Again, on the subject of bitterness, it's people and circumstances of life that open us and challenge us to accept bitterness. And again, bitterness comes when someone doesn't agree with you and suddenly you feel superior to them and look down on them and simply say to yourself, why can't anybody see what I see? The point of it is not everybody's going to see what you see, and you're not going to see what everybody else sees. In other words, there's somebody out there bitter toward you, whether you realize it or not. Under normal circumstances, we would never accept bitterness, but the challenge attacks our pride. Remember, bitterness comes from a root of arrogance and a spirit of competition. Life is often unfair. Why? Because we live in the devil's world, and he doesn't fight fair. So what else is new? God has never told us to fight the circumstances of life. We're to turn those battles and their cares over to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him. When we accept the injustices of life and become bitter about them, we lower ourselves to the level of the circumstances around us. When we let the Lord fight our battles through faith in his word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'll see our enemies conquered from a higher level and understand something. The people who disagree with us truly love God. They are born again. They've accepted Jesus as their Savior. We just have a disagreement over something that you think is so simple anybody can understand it. So you begin to condescend toward them when you shouldn't do that at all. There's times in your life when you haven't seen something and later on suddenly saw the revelation, thought, well, so-and-so was right, or sister so-and-so was right. You may never contact them, but I think sometimes it's important to contact them and let them know you were reading through the Word of God and now you understand where they were coming from. Who knows? There might have been a root of bitterness in them toward you and now it's gone. And it took that for them to get rid of it. They should never have let it come in the first place. But the point of it is by opening up and admitting your faults to other people and admitting the fact that now you've learned something new, and especially when somebody shared something with you, is a wonderful thing of life. In fact, we're told in the Word of God how important it is to love one another. Loving one another is a great display of who you are in the body of Christ. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. It's simply saying the more you know about God, not just being born again, but actually know God, the more you realize you've got a lot to learn. And there's a lot of things in you that even throughout your lifetime, you're going to be going, you know what? I've been wrong all these years about that particular thing. It takes a big person to admit that, and this is the type of person bitterness cannot enter into them because they see themselves as not only born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, fulfilling a place in the body of Christ, but they also see themselves as human. Bitterness is, first of all, a choice. Circumstances present the opportunity, but we do not have to receive the bitterness that they bring. Hannah was a woman who loved the Lord, but she was barren. This seemed unfair, and she became bitter over it. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. Hannah lowered herself to the level of her circumstances, and bitterness was the result. She became upset with people around her, but she really got upset with God, and that's the point you never want to cross over into. Often it's not the last lack of children that produces bitterness, but the presence of them and their attitudes. In other words, we often think, if I had this thing, I'd be happier. Oh, for a moment, but then it's like children. Children bring happiness, but they also bring at times bitterness. Proverbs 17 and verse 25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his parents and bitterness to him that bore him. See, children can bring bitterness into your life, but I'm really here to tell you where it says a foolish son brings grief to his father. The point of it is the father allowed that foolishness to bring bitterness into his life and the mother also. If we don't keep a watch over our attitudes, the challenge of raising a child can produce bitterness. Husbands, our wives are not the same as we are. They're built by God to look and react differently to life and its issues. Because they're built more on an emotional level and they defy the logic that we men have inside themselves, we often accept it as a threat. Colossians 3:19 warns us, husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. While trusting God for our own financial situation, we often see the seeming carefree lives of others, especially sinners. If we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, bitterness can result in our soul, and the prosperity of the wicked led Israel into bitterness against God. And the Bible warns about that, not to be envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Why? Because it's just temporary. They don't have the person, they don't have the understanding, they don't have the integrity to learn how to take the finances and to keep them. And this led to the destruction of so many wicked and those in captivity who went into Babylon. It took that for them to finally get rid of the bitterness they had toward the prosperity of the world. Instead of humbling themselves, the captivity led many to become even more bitter. There were few in captivity that came back bitter against God. This is found in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 4, Amos chapter 8 and verse 10. And though the majority of them came back without that bitterness, many came back more bitter than ever. What are the results of bitterness? The results of bitterness are self-induced. You bring these things on yourself. Don't blame God for your bitterness, and don't blame the person for your bitterness. Blame yourself. It is your choice. Remember that bitterness is a choice. Just as we often have ourselves to blame for becoming bitter, we only have ourselves to blame for the results of bitterness. Once we enter the road of bitterness, we can never expect it to lead to anything good, only to evil. Bitterness has a destination. The destination is hatred, cruelty, revenge, self-pity, hypocrisy, jealousy, competition, and confusion. Finally, a life of sin will not only be lived, but justified. James says it so clearly, where there is bitter envying and strife, there is confusion and then every evil work. Bitterness does not have a good ending. Bitterness has a terrible ending. Getting rid of bitterness, walking in love toward others, seeing the best in them, always has the best destination. Bitterness is a great tool of Satan for the destruction of the believer's spiritual life and testimony. What's amazing is that everyone else can see the problem but the one who is bitter. Bitterness has blinded them to the truth. The only joy a bitter person has is to enlist others in their bitterness. Not only does a bitter person lose their friends, they cannot make any more friends. That's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 10. Bitterness leaves you standing alone. What is the recovery from bitterness? Success over bitterness comes from God. Help comes from the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Therefore, three things must be recognized by the person desiring deliverance and freedom from bitterness. First of all, bitterness must be recognized as sin. We need the blood of Jesus. Bitterness is a heavy load which can only be supernaturally lifted. You must recognize bitterness as a sin, confess it to Jesus, and then have it cleansed by His blood, 1 John 1:9. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but you have in love delivered me from the pit of corruption, for you have cast my sins behind my back, Isaiah 38 and verse 17. You see, bitterness has been a problem since the Old Testament too. Once you have confessed the sin, realize that God has forgiven your bitterness. You must consign your sin to the blood of Jesus Christ, to the cross. Jesus died for it, and the people or circumstances which open the door to bitterness are to be forgiven too. Number two is we must daily depend on the Holy Spirit. Just as entering bitterness was a decision, freedom in the future depends on daily choices. Freedom and bondage, blessing and cursing, and life and death are decisions we face throughout the day. Nothing in life is a one-time choice. A successful life in the Lord involves the right decision at every moment. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us in each decision. God is pleased when we depend on Him, resist sin, and forgive others. But He's grieved when we ignore Him. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. That's following the Lord Jesus Christ. But number three is we have to follow the Word. Over the long run, our strength to remain free from bitterness must come from the strength of the promises of God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 11 tells us that. The Holy Spirit draws from our knowledge of the Word to help us make those daily decisions. You see, what I'm talking about here is not only bitterness, but every sin you commit can be brought to God the Father and tell, thank you for your plan of sending Jesus to the cross to forgive me of all sins, including this sin I have right now, which is bitterness. It could be bitterness toward God Himself. Father, forgive me for being bitter toward you. I blamed you for getting me into this problem when Jesus didn't die to bring me into problems. He died to bring me out of problems. Next of all, I ask you to forgive me of that, and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, does cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Our spiritual vision becomes sharpened by each promise to detect occasions of Satan to fall into bitterness again. Once I'm forgiven by God, I could fall back into that problem again, but it's going to be harder. I learned a lesson. And if I fall into it again, I can confess it again. And what I'm telling you is, every time you run into a problem, you confess it. You stand on God's Word. You bring out promises on it, such as bitterness. You'll find the next time it's a little harder to get into bitterness than it was the first time. Every time you have more success, and your times and periods of walking in righteousness are longer than they used to be. Oh, you'll still commit a sin now and then, but you'll find out it's far less than it used to be. Only the truth of God, which makes us free, can keep us free. One of the devil's greatest devices is to stir up an old memory and then tempt us into the same bitterness we were delivered from. I mean, those things are true in my own life. There's been times I've been bitter, asked God to forgive me, and then later on started thinking about the same thing again and went right back into that bitterness. But thank God, 1 John 1:9 is not something we can use one time. It's something we can use each and every day of our life. It's still as powerful today as it was in my life 15, 20, 30 years ago. It's still that powerful today. So, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many are defiled. This verse is telling us we can not only get rid of bitterness, we can walk free from bitterness. Oh, we may have problems with it from time to time in the future, but you know what? You can walk free from the bitterness that Satan wants to put into your life, because bitterness can be a root of something that Satan can get into your life and have a victory over you. And why don't you tell yourself today, Satan, you have no victory in my life. I'm set free by the Word and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for watching today. I'll see you next time.
You can order resources, become a partner, or browse free articles and podcasts by visiting our website at bobyandian.com. You can also join our mailing list and receive weekly devotions and the latest ministry updates. If you would like to contact Bob Yandian Ministries, visit bobyandian.com and click on Contact. To contact us by mail, use the address on your screen. Thank you for watching today's broadcast. We'll see you next time on Student of the Word with Bob Yandian.